Beruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we are studying Parashat Bo. Tonight's shiur is being studied in Le'ilu Nishmat, Andriya Lili Bat Zakiya Ruach Hashem Tanihana Began Aiden Amin. Today's shiur is being studied in Fu'at Shirema Moshe Di Jamal, dedicated by our good friends Soli Di Jamal and family from Plantation, Florida. Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. Also, today's shiur is being studied Lezecher Nishmat, Tzadik V'Kadosh, Rabbi Yisrael Abu Hasera, Alav Shalom, Zechuto Yagin Alenu, Amen, otherwise known as the Baba Sali, the father of prayer, that his yortzeit was already today. Zechuto Yagin Alenu, Amen. We are studying Parashat Bo. We have here in the parashah what Rashi refers to as the first mitzvah of the Torah. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor, ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim, rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana. This is the mitzvah of sanctifying the new months according to the position of the moon. As we all know, Am Yisrael has a different system of calendar than the Goyim. Well, the Goyim system is a solar calendar. The calendar that we use is based on a lunar calculation. There's actually three systems. The Arabs, the Muslims, use a pure lunar calculation without any correction. The Goyim use a pure solar calculation. We have a lunar calendar with a solar correction. That means every 3 to 4 years we have a leap year in order to catch up to the days that are missing from the lunar to the solar. It's not important to go into the calculations tonight. We're not making the calendar. Leave it to the PTA to make the calendars and the yeshiva. We're just coming tonight to say a few words of musar and understanding. Much has been said to try to explain why the Jewish people follow the moon as opposed to the sun. There's an interesting midrash that I came across in this week's parashah, where it says the following: Velachen masar kadosh baruch hu sod levana liYisrael. The secret of the levana is given to the Jewish people. Sheyehu hem monim ba. They will count by the moon. When I say that, that means the cycle of the moon is about 29.5 days. It takes to renew itself. It goes from a small sliver, and then it gets bigger and bigger. That's the 15th of the month. And then it starts to get smaller again, and that's the end of the month. So this entire cycle from beginning to end takes 29.5 days. And every 29.5 days, we celebrate another Rosh Chodesh. Chodesh is from the word Hadash, because we're celebrating now a renewal of the cycle of the moon. That's the way we make our calculations. Va'avdei kochavim monim lechama. They follow the system of the sun, which is a system of 365 days. The lunar calculation is 354 days, incidentally. Uma chama, lomar, ma chama ena ela bayom, kach en moshlim ela ba'olam hazeh. The first thing the Midrash says, that the sun only shines in the day, to allude us that the Goyim only have dominance and superiority ba'olam hazeh. But after this world is over, ba'olam haba, they have nothing. They only shine during the day. The day represents this world. Uma chama hi shel esh. And just like the sun is made from fire, kach hem atidim lidon ba. So too, eventually, the enemies of Klal Yisrael are going to be judged by the heat of the sun. Shene'emar, ki hineh hayom ba, bo'er ketanur. The prophet Malachi says the day is going to come and it's going to be hot like a fiery furnace. And that's going to be like the heat of the sun and it's going to burn to the Shaim. Uchshem shalevana nir'it bayom ubalayla. But just like the moon is seen and noticeable, bayom ubalayla, well, at night it's clear that you see the moon. But it's also not so obvious, but we notice it from time to time, that during the day, sometimes you look up at the sky and you see the moon as well. I guarantee you, you'll never look up at the sky during the night and see the sun. You won't even see a shadow of the sun. But the moon sometimes comes out during the day, you see it. So it says, just like the moon shines in the day and in the night, Kat Israel, Moshlim ba'olam hazeh, uba'olam haba. So too the Jewish people will have existence and dominance in this world and in the world to come. Which means the symbolism of the moon is actually a symbolism of the Jew in his 2,000-year exile that we've been in. Am Yisrael has seen days of light and days of darkness. Am Yisrael has seen some of the most prosperous days in its history. Whether it was when we came out of Mitzrayim and we lived in the Midbar in a miraculous way for 40 years, or whether it was when we entered the land of Israel under Yehoshua ben Nun and we conquered all our enemies miraculously, and then reached the level of kingdom in the times of Shlomo HaMelech where we built the Beit HaMikdash, which lasted for 410 years. And then we went into a small galut and came back for another 420 years of the Second Temple. So Am Yisrael enjoyed almost 1,000 years of dominance and superiority and favorable situation in this world. Just like the moon shines in the day. Klal Yisrael had their time during the day. But that being said, the moon also and primarily shines at night. The night represents the Jewish exile. The night represents the 2,000 years of blood-stained history. From the pogroms to the libels, the blood libels, to the inquisitions, and to the Holocaust, and all the other methods that our enemies used against us in order to annihilate us. The history of the Jewish people, where the blood of the Jew is very cheap in the eyes of the world. And even so, Omdim Aleinu Lechalotenu, in every single generation, there were those that stood up and committed to the world that they're going to fulfill the final solution. And they're going to rid the world of Jews. It started way back from Paro, all the way to the modern day, including today as we speak. There are enemies that are scheming and plotting in order to rid the world of Jews. Omdim aleinu lechalotenu. And the miracle is, we're still here. V'kadosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam. Am Yisrael has survived. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Sefer that to him, one of the greatest and most astounding miracles of world history is not Kiryat Yam Suf. The splitting of the sea, as miraculous as it was, pales in comparison to the fact that Am Yisrael still exists. It's an anomaly of history. The historians cannot understand it. How is it possible that the Jewish people are still here to tell their story? A nation that has been so butchered and so bludgeoned and so mistreated and so hated wherever they were. And we came very close many times to complete extinction. But Am Yisrael somehow survives. And we flourish. And just when our enemies think they got us, just as in the 1940s, when they came this close of annihilating Klal Yisrael, and all of a sudden, a few years later, Am Yisrael had their own state, and their own country, and we were already a few years later living autonomously and independently in a country? What happened? How did this happen all of a sudden? And this is a riddle or a mystery of not only Jewish history, of world history. The historians cannot figure it out. Am Yisrael is compared to the moon. Just like the moon shines during the day, but it also shines during the night. The Goyim, they only shine during the day. They have dominance and superiority in this world. But after this world is over, it's finished. The sun will stop shining. But Am Yisrael is compared to the moon. Whenever we make the Birkat HaLevana, we're reminded of the immortality of the Jew. That the Jew exists not only in good times, but the Jew exists as well during the dark times as well. That's the first symbolism of the blessing of the moon. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. This is your secret. You are compared to the moon. Only Am Yisrael is able to survive and shine even during the night, even during the dark periods of our history. There's another interpretation that's brought down by the Gaon the Rabbi Yosef Salant in his Sefer Be'er Yosef. He writes that when the Jewish people were in Egypt, this was the first mitzvah that they got before they left. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, God pointed to the moon and told Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the way you're going to sanctify the calendar in the Jewish months. And then God went on to tell Moshe a whole list of laws regarding Korban Pesach. And he told them, you have to circumcise yourselves before you eat the Korban Pesach. And then after you circumcise yourself, you have to take the Korban and you have to roast it. And he warned them that only Jews are allowed to eat from the Korban. Kol ben nechal lo yochal bo. No Gentile is able to partake in the feast. And you must take from the blood of this sacrifice, and you must sprinkle it and paint it on your doorposts. And the Be'er Yosef wants to understand, yes, I understand the laws of Korban Pesach. For whatever reason, God gave us these laws before we left. But what does it have to do with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem? What does it have to do with the new month? It seems these two laws are not related to each other. But if you look at the Pesukim, they're written right next to each other. Right after it says HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, the next Pasuk, Daberu al kol adat v'yisrael lemor, Ve'asod HaChodesh HaZeh v'yikodem ish seh lebet abot seh labayit. As if there's a connection between making the Beracha on the moon and sanctifying the moon and bringing Korban Pesach. The rabbi goes on to say something that we might know, but we don't know to the extent. The Jewish people, when we were in Egypt, at the end, we reached the lowest level of contamination, the lowest level of tum'ah. You shouldn't think that it was just something spiritual that wasn't noticeable. It was something that was obvious. The Jewish people were uncircumcised. We looked like the goyim. The Midrash writes, we grew the blorit. The blorit is like the curls. Our hair was like the mushroom haircuts that the goyim were taking. And also, we got very close to the goyim as well. There was a great amount of Jews that worshipped Avodah Zarah, which incidentally was the sheep, which the Egyptians worshipped as well. The Midrash, the Gemara says it, when the Jews were leaving Egypt, the Malachim came to God and said, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. What's the difference between both nations? They're both idolaters. What are you showing favoritism? You're showing favoritism? They're just the same. Why are you saving them and not them? It was a strong claim that the angels had. The Jewish people reached a total homogenization, a total melting with the society of the Egyptians. The Haggadah Shel Pesach says, Lavo lakachat goy, or hanisa Elohim, Lavo lakachat lo goy, mikerev goy. God attempted to take a nation from within a nation. What does it mean, goy mikerev goy? You know what the word mikerev means? From inside. When a lady is pregnant, so the child is inside of her. The child becomes part of her body. The Gemara says, ubar yerech imo. The child becomes like a limb of the mother's body. Just like the mother has a heart, and the mother has a leg, and the mother has the other organs, the baby becomes one with the mother. Ubar yerech imo. It's bekerev. It's one of the insides. The baby cannot come out until it detaches itself from the mother. It has to break off. But as long as the baby is attached inside, it will not come out. Today the doctors try to induce that break. But when it happens naturally, all of a sudden the child starts to break away. Now already the process begins and the baby can emerge. But as long as it's attached, you cannot take it out. As long as it's kerev, as long as it's inside, part of the inside, it is lodged in. And that was the challenge. The Jews were inside the Egyptians. They were lodged in. They were attached. Klal Yisrael was so assimilated, you couldn't pull them away. So God had to first break them off a little from the stem to pull them out first, and then already they'll be able to emerge. So what did he do? The first thing he tells them, Nishechu ukhu lachem se, Oson. First of all, you have to pull yourselves away from the Avodah Zarah. How are you going to pull yourselves away from the Avodah Zarah? This sheep that you've been worshipping all these years with the Egyptians, now I want you to take it, and I want you to slaughter it. Wow. To the Jews, that was a great test. Because to them, over the course of hundreds of years, they were involved in this worship, just like the Egyptians. So the first thing God says, you have to show that you're not connected anymore. You have to pull away. Take a knife and make shaitat to the Avodah Zarah. But that's not enough. Because you still look like the goyim. Go circumcise yourselves as well. That's another break. Again, we have to break all the ties, all those, the claws of the exile was on us. So Borei Olam has to lift one finger at a time so we're able to escape from the clutches of assimilation. Slaughter the Avodah Zarah. Now you did that, but you look like them. Slaughter yourselves now. Circumcise yourself. So when you look at a Jew and you look at a goy, you don't look the same. And what? Roast the Korban Pesach. So you're going to eat it. But what? First of all, the goyim, usually the way we get close to goyim is through eating with them. Socially, people go out, they sit in a restaurant. This is the way usually people get close to each other, via a si'uda. They go to a party or to a banquet, and they sit down in the club with goyim, and over a drink, and over some good fine food, so that already brings people together. So Borei Olam says, regarding this meal that you're going to have, first of all you don't have to worry, because the Egyptians are going to be sick when they see that you're slaughtering the Avodah Zarah. They're not going to want to partake in such a meal. So you're not worried. This was again to break them away from the culture. But there might be some Egyptians that are going to smell the delicious meat, and they're going to come along and ask, we'd like to be part of it. Could you join us into the Sa'uda? So the Torah says, Kol ben nechar lo yochel bo. The law is that no Gentile is going to be able to eat with you. Why? To break them away. To separate. To pull them out from the Egyptians. And what? That's not enough. I want you to take the blood of this animal, and I want you to paint your doorposts. So when the Egyptian walks by your house, he'll be revolted. He'll be sickened to his stomach. You're taking his avodah zarah and you're using it now as a paint. You're using it now in order to shellac your doorposts. So therefore it'll cause the Egyptians to run away from you. And then, just in case a Jew might have the urge to leave his house, to go socialize with one of his Egyptian neighbors, ve'atem lo tetze'u mipetach betchem ad boker. God warns the Jewish people, you're not allowed to leave your homes. Lo tetze'u, you're not allowed to leave the doorposts until the morning. Which means the whole Korban Pesach is a exercise in order to separate Am Yisrael, which means a nation is about to be born. Klal Yisrael is about to come out of the birthing canal, but it can't come out. It's attached. So Borei Olam starts having to induce the labor. So how does he induce the labor? He starts giving them laws that automatically they start to ease in their grip that they had. They start to loosen their clutches that they had on the Egyptian culture. Pull away! Circumcision! Slaughter the Avodah Zarah! They can't eat with you! Push them away, put blood on the doorpost so they won't come near you, and you don't leave your house! Oh, now Borei Olam says, now you're ready to be born. Now you're ready to come out. But as long as Am Yisrael is cohesive with the host nation, then Am Yisrael cannot be redeemed. They, as long as they are goy mikerev goy, a goy within a goy, that the host nation is carrying another nation in its womb, then Am Yisrael is not ready for redemption. And if we have to break away. And that's why Borei Olam introduces this parasha, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, learn from the moon. I'm not an astronomer or an astrologist, nor do I work for NASA, but I can tell you one fact about the moon to a certain degree. The moon itself is a dark planet. It has no light of its own. The sun, on the other hand, produces much light, as we all know. The moon receives its light from a reflection of the sun, based on the position of the sun and the moon, so that's how much sunlight is going to reflect off the moon and make moonlight. Hence, based on the position, some say you see just a little light, some say you see a little more. On the 15th of the month, you see a complete picture. Sometimes you see half a moon. But it's all dependent on how far the moon is from the sun. And if you know anything, and the Beit Yosef, it seems, knew this fact, because he brings it down. Fact be told, the closer the moon is to the sun, the less you see of the moon. The further away it is in its movement, in its orbit, the more light is seen. Hence, a black or an invisible moon means it's the closest to the sun at that point. Hence you cannot see it at all. It's swallowed up by the sun. But when it pulls away, now already it's able to have a light. Now it's able to illuminate. Hence God is telling the Jewish people, HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem. Yeah, you see the lesson of the sun and the moon? You see the relationship between these two bodies? The lesson is lachem. Learn from this. The goyim are the sun. The Jew is the moon. Am Yisrael is like the moon. But you know what? In order for you to shine, in order for you to succeed, you have to be away from it. But if you get close to it, you become invisible. You become unnoticed. You become absorbed. into the foreign culture, then you have no entity of yourself. You lose your existence. HaChodesh hazeh lachem. Every time you go out and see the moon, you're reminded, why is there moonlight? Because it's pulled away. And then you're going to come out at the end of the month, you're going to say, where's the moon? Ah, must be it got too close. The position of the moon and of the month reminds the Jew in exile every single day. Keep back and you shine and you have existence. Get too close and you become lost. And history has proven this as well. So therefore, before God gives us the laws of Korban Pesach, which the whole message of Korban Pesach was, step back. You're not like them. You don't eat like them. You don't look like them. Don't act like them. Do everything to keep them away from you. HaChodesh hazeh lachem. God was telling the moon, pull back. And then already, Am Yisrael started to shine. Now they were ready for a redemption. This is a tremendous musar that we need to remind ourselves every single month. Every Rosh Chodesh. Based on the different minhagim, Ashkenazim make Birkat Levana after 3 days, Sephardim make Levana after 7 days. But when we go make the blessing on the moon, it's to remind us, you only see a moon because it's recessed. It's not too close, that's why you're able to see a reflection. But Chas V'Shalom, if it gets too close, then already you wouldn't see anything. It reminds the Jew in exile, don't get too close. Don't intermingle. Don't become so attached. And it doesn't mean only to a goy, because I know what you're thinking. I don't have any goy friends. What is he talking about, this guy? All my friends are Jewish. It means the culture. It means all your friends on television. It means all your friends in the NFL. It means all your friends in the entertainment business. It means all your friends on Broadway in the movie theaters. All your friends in Hollywood. I'm talking about those friends. Oh, and everybody says, oh yeah, I have some of those. Those I know some. That's all your friends in the music industry. This is the culture. Pull yourself away. Because if a Jew already is goy mekerev goy, then already it cannot come out. The Lebana reminds you, move back, then you shine. But the closer you get, the darker we become. Just look at the assimilation rates in our country. Those are all the sects of Judaism that got too close. And we have a rule, when somebody gets too close to the fire, you burn. When somebody gets too close to the sun, they burn. And that's what happened to, unfortunately, a large majority of Klal Yisrael. They burnt themselves to death, to spiritual death, because they came too close to the fire. But on the contrary, when one keeps back from the fire, then he enjoys the radiance of it. Then already, it's the perfect distance where he's able to receive the benefits without getting hurt. HaChodesh hazeh lachem. To you, learn the lesson of the Levana. So that's the second Musar. Let's review, because I'm going to give you a few more. I'm only reviewing for myself. I know you have a better memory than I. The first explanation I told you tonight is HaChodesh hazeh lachem. Am Yisrael is like the moon. Our existence is even in the dark. Even in the worst periods of history, Am Yisrael still is there. We have survived. We have outlived our enemies. Am Yisrael is immortal. The sun only exists during the day. The Goyim, they have their time in this world. But Am Yisrael is able to live not only in the shiny times, but even in the dark times, because that's our nature. Once dark times reached all the other nations of the world, they're gone. Once the Greeks reached dark times, they left. Once the Romans reached dark times, they left. The Babylonians, they left. The Egyptians, whenever it got difficult, They were erased off of world history. Am Yisrael is the only nation that when they came upon dark times, they're still there to tell the story. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. This month is a paradigm to you. When you look at the moon, you're supposed to become invigorated. It's an inspiration. Am Yisrael is like the moon. We've made it. The third interpretation I want to tell you as follows. There's a big difference between the sun and the moon, and that is, at least from our vantage point, the sun remains stagnant. It does not change. It does not change in its size. However, the moon, on the other hand, although it's not as big as the sun, but one thing about the moon is that it grows. It gets bigger. As one of the Baalei Musar said, Shemesh Gedola, Ach En Hi Gedela. The sun is big, but there's no growth. The moon, on the other hand, might be small, but it grows. It goes up. And there could be a Musar that we're learning from the cycle of the moon. And that's the cycle of human beings. That if the Jewish people make correct decisions, and we use our free will correctly, and Am Yisrael exercises good judgment, then you'll start to grow. Gradually, you'll start getting greater and greater and greater. Not overnight. A person will go to yeshiva one day and study good. All of a sudden, you'll see some light. And then the next day, I'll go to yeshiva again. There'll be more light. And he does some chesed. And he starts to work on his tefillah. And he starts to give his tzedakot. And he gets involved in other mitzvot. Kavanah and tefillin. And so on and so forth. And sini'ut. And all the mitzvot. And all of a sudden, the light starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's possible, over the course of time, eventually, you can reach your peak, like the moon, where it's full-blown radiance. That's the power of Klal Yisrael. You too can become great, and your soul can light gradually, like the light of the moon. But the second half of the month reminds us that you could have such brilliance of soul. But chas v'shalom, if you start making wrong decisions, and chas v'shalom, if you start veering off the course, even slightly, already on the 16th of the month, you're not the same anymore. Because of one turn, one looking of something that you're not supposed to look at, one lashon hara, one hearing something, one eating something, now already there's a pegam. Now already the moon is not in its fullness. And avera goreret avera, and one sin breeds another sin. Sins are contagious. It's like an avalanche. It gets bigger and bigger and picks up momentum. And all of a sudden, the symbolism of the end of the month is such a beautiful moon that has such light, all of a sudden starts to become eclipsed. It starts to become darkened. And then, ve'enenu, at the end of the month, the tzaddik that was with us, because he went after the yetzer hara, he is no longer. But then we tell that rasha, don't give up hope. Just because you made wrong decisions, and just because you followed the yetzer hara, and you lost your level, it does not mean that you cannot gain it back. And then if you start to do mitzvot, you will become great again. And you can return and become a Baal Teshuvah and reach the level that you were originally. And all of a sudden, the first day of the month, you see a sparkle of the moon again. This is Teshuvah. And teshuvah is able to bring a person back. So you start looking at the moon and you start to remind yourself of the cycle of life, of the roller coaster of life. There's Yemeh Aliyah, and then there's Yemeh Yeridah. The days where we feel like we're elevating ourselves, where our learning is going good, where our prayers are going good, where we feel as if we're in the groove, there's growth. And then there's other times where we slip and we slide. And the person has to know that even if we reached great levels, do not become confident. Al ta'amin bi'atzmecha ad yom motcha. We cannot trust ourselves until we are no longer. Al ta'amin bi'atzmecha ad yom motcha. Person shouldn't say, oh, look, I have tzidkut on me. Yohanan Kohen Gadol was the Kohen for 80 years. His neshama was light like the moon on the 15th day. And then he made a left turn. And he ended up becoming Bar Minnan. He went off the Derech. And he ended up becoming a very dark soul. And therefore the moon reminds us of our ability to become great. And it reminds us of our ability to lose it. And it reminds us of our ability to make teshuvah and retrieve it and get it back. The sun, however, is not a reality for us. Because the sun is a constant. Human beings are never constant. A human is never able to maintain a straight line throughout life. It's never like that. And I'm sorry to say, even to keep a line of growth, just like no business, as the modern economy has proven to us, no business is able to keep a constant growth pattern going up. Unfortunately, human beings are the same. Sometimes a person takes a dip for whatever reason. Yemei Yirida, like the Ben Hutam calls it. The days of Hoshech. But a person has to remember that even though he's in a time of Hoshech, even though he committed Averot, but he has to strengthen himself that he can get out of his Averot. That he can make a turn to the right again, and the sun will come back on him, and he will shine again. And a person shouldn't think, well, I've done this pattern so many times. Every single month is the same thing. It gets bigger, and then it falls, and even though it fell, it comes bigger the next month again, and becomes lighter. This is a musar to Klal Yisrael, that you must constantly grow. And even at the time of growth, you have to be very cautious, because it can be taken away very quickly. It has been said by the Baalei Musar, it is much easier to break a glass than it is to make a glass. To make a glass is great effort. If you ever went to a glass factory, you see them working on one little vase, and they're holding it with the tongs, and they're putting it into the fire over there, which is thousands of degrees, and they're fashioning it, and they're playing with it this way and that way, and they're shaping it. And they have to make sure it's the perfect shape, and it takes time. Even the professional, it takes them 5-10 minutes to make one little vase. And then, of course, they have to put the paint and the color. I have to cool it down and put it back into the oven and bake it. And finally, after 10 or 15 minutes, he produces for you a little vase. And you take that vase, and all of a sudden, by mistake, you drop it, and in 1 second, 15 minutes of work is lost. And it's irretrievable. This is the musav. To accomplish things takes very, very great effort. To lose weight takes great effort. Oh, now you understand what I'm talking about. But how fast do we put it back on? That's the same thing in spirituality. To maintain a level of spirituality is very difficult. It takes effort, it takes exertion, it takes great energy, it takes great struggle, it takes mesirut nefesh, self-sacrifice. But to lose a level, like this, one mistake, one oversleep, one missing a minyan. But Mr. Minyan one day, oversight, take a left turn. Now already he's on a wrong road. If he doesn't correct himself and realign his position, he can already fall to the bottom ring of the ladder, the bottom rung. It's that sensitive. Just like the moon, from the 15th to the 16th, it's a different moon. A person comes the next day on the 16th of the month. What happened to the moon? What do you mean, what happened? Look, there's a pagam. It's not full. Something happened. It's going down. And then you come a week and a half later, and there is a Shema Yisrael. It's already became dark. And then at the end of the month, ve'enenu. With this, I'd like to quote to you a Gemara. We'll learn a Gemara together. Won't hurt us. The Gemara is in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Let's do a story. The Gemara is talking about a certain city called Diyumasit. It seems Diyumasit was a resort town. It was an area where there was good wine and there was good meat and they had nice baths. And the Gemara tells a story of one of the rabbis that went to visit Diyumasit on a vacation. Bil Azar bin Arach ikla' lehatam. Bil Azar bin Arach, just so you know who we're talking about, so you don't have a question of the caliber of this man. Rabbi Azar bin Arach was one of five students of Rabbi Yochanan bin Zakkai. All the five students were the greatest minds, the greatest personalities of their generation. One of the students, his name was Rabbi Azar bin Hurkanos. Rabbi Azar bin Hurkanos, the Gemara refers to him as Bor Sin She'eno Me'abed Tipa. His brain was a paved well that does not lose a drop of information. He was a magnet. His brain retained all the information. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, if you would take Rabbi Azar bin Hurkanos and take all the other students of Rabbi Yochanan bin Zakkai and take all the other rabbis and put them on the other side of the scale, Rabbi Azar bin Hurkanos outweighs them. Im yihyu kol hachmei Yisrael bekaf moznayim echad. Rabbi Azar bin Hurkanos bekaf sheniya u'machriya et kulam. That's how great Rabbi Azar bin Hurkanos was. Oh, the Mishnah says, and who is Rabbi Azar bin Arach? Oh, he was considered Ma'yana Mitkabir. He was an overflowing wellspring. He had such greatness, like a wellspring. It doesn't stop flowing. If anybody ever saw a natural wellspring, the water just keeps up coming up and up and up. It doesn't stop. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That was the brain of Rabbi Azar bin Arach, Ma'yan et Kabir. 24 hours a day, Hiddushim, Divrei Torah. It was a geyser. And the Mishnah writes, so great was Rabbi Azar bin Arach. Im yiyu kol hachmei Yisrael bekaf moznayim echad. If all the rabbis of Israel were on one side of the scale, v'Rabbi Elazar bin Hurkanos afri mahem, and you know what? Take that other rabbi that was on the other side, put him with the rabbis, and put Rabbi Elazar bin Arach on the other side. U'machriya et kulam. He outweighed all of them with Rabbi Elazar bin Hurkanos. This is the magnitude of this personality. So what did he do? He took a vacation. He went to Diyumasit. I drank a little wine. A little bath, a little spring. Imshich batrayu. Why? Allah says, he got drawn after that life over there. He got sucked in. I don't know exactly to what extent, or what does it mean over. He wasn't wearing a Hawaiian shirt or anything like that. You're not going to say he went to that extent. You know, he didn't put on white pants and now starting to frolic like those type of people. But I'm reading a Gemara. Imshich batrayhu. To a certain degree, he got involved. The Gemara writes one of the most tragic stories in the Talmud. Iakar Talmudeh. He forgot his learning. A man that was considered Mayana Mitkaber. Torah was spilling or pouring or gushing out of his brain. Now already he forgot his learning. What does it mean he forgot his learning? So the Gemara says a story. Tragic. Ki Hadar, when he came back, Atai came, kam le mikre b'sifra. They invited him to the sefer. Chavod, there was parashat bo. They gave him an aliyah. And guess what aliyah they gave him? The aliyah of this parasha, ha-chodesh hazeh lachem. Ba'al mikra ha-chodesh hazeh lachem. You wanted to read it? Amar instead, he read ha-cheresh hayah libam. Why? He couldn't even read three words in the sefer. Instead of ha-chodesh, he read ha-cheresh. Instead of hazeh, he read hayah. Instead of lachem, he read it libam. He made a mistake on all three words. When the rabbis saw this, they felt bad for him. They saw what happened. Ba'u rabbanan rahame aleh. The rabbis prayed for him that he should be able to retrieve his divrei Torah, v'hadar talmudeh. And it came back to him. He was lucky. Rabbi Elazar was lucky that he had colleagues that were able to pray for him to bring back what he lost. Most people don't have this advantage. He was lucky. But look what happened. He went after the pleasures of this world. And like I told you, he made a little left turn. This was a man that was shining like the moon. And he just went off a little. What do you mean off? The food was kosher. I mean, we didn't say itaref. But he went after the hana'ot of this world. He went after some of the pleasures of this world. And that was enough in order to start the Bir Azab bin Arak. It's like a plane that's soaring, or a rocket that's soaring up and up and up. And all of a sudden, the jets shut down and it starts to come back down. And it starts to come back down very quickly. The great Mefarshim on this Gemara, not that I want to get into it so deep tonight with you, and we'll leave it for another time, but there was a great rabbi called Reb Shimshon Maastropoli. Reb Shimshon Maastropoli writes that there's certain kilipot. I don't know what a kilipah is exactly. You go ask your local Kabbalist what exactly a kilipah is. It seems it's a certain power of tum'ah. It's the way I understand it. And the name of the kilipah is called Riv. Resh Yod Bet. And this is the kilipah that causes a person to forget his learning. And he writes, I don't know how he knows this, but he writes, and this kilipah has an army with him, and the army consists of 605 soldiers. You can't see these soldiers, it's spiritual soldiers. So anytime a person forgets his learning, he's been attacked by the bug, by the virus. This is not a virus that can affect your computer system, but it can affect your brain. That's called the kilipah of Reeve. With its 605 gundadim, its army, and he says that's what affected Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And he proves it. He says he was supposed to read the word hachodesh. Instead of chodesh, he read heresh. He switched the dalet for a resh. Hachodesh hazeh. Instead of hazeh, he read haya. He switched the zayin for a yud. Lachem, he switched the chaf, and he read libam for a bet. The letters that he messed up on were resh, yud, bet. The kilipav, resh, yud, bet came and caused them to forget. And he writes, the gematria of a heresh haya libam is 605. Keneged gundadile, keneged the soldiers of Reev that come and take away a person's learning. But what do those words mean that he read? Haheresh haya libam. Their hearts became deaf. That's what it means. Haheresh is deaf. Haya libam. Was that a message maybe God was giving the great rabbi? Their hearts became deaf. So I'm going to tell you a very important musar now. We have three parts of our body that are all integral to our success in religion, and it's integral that the right body parts are in control. We have the mind, which is called the mawah. We have the heart, which is called the lev. And we have the liver, which is called the kaved. Of course, the moach is the brain system. That's where we download information. As I'm speaking now, I'm talking to your moach. The information is being downloaded. But let me tell you something. Most people, the information remains in their moach. Such people, the Torah will have no effect on them. The Torah cannot remain in this level. Because Torah in the brain cannot influence the passion of the heart. The Torah must then go down the level from Moah and speak to the heart and control the passions of the heart. And once it goes into the heart, then already it goes into the kaved. The kaved is where all the blood goes through. Then the Dvarei Torah goes into his bloodstream. Yadamu ha-nefesh. And now already the person becomes a Ben Torah. But again, if it remains in the brain, it does not become part of him. Such Torah has limited effect on a person. Because he's really being controlled by his heart. His brain is not in control. I'll give you an example. They once asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great master of Musar movement, is there a Yetzer Hara that exists that stops a person from going to Shi'urei Torah? He said, absolutely. We all know this Yetzer Hara. A person is questioning, should I go to the Shi'ur? Ah, yeah, lazy. He says, but there's a bigger Yetzer Hara. There's a certain Yetzer Hara that says, go to the class. It doesn't bother to go to the class. But the Yetzer Hara, this bigger one, says, what you learned, don't apply. He says the distance between not knowing and knowing, and then knowing and bringing it down to your heart, is much further. The Yetzirah doesn't want you to know. Learn information, entertainment, hadush, oh, very nice. But then to apply it, that's already the most difficult thing. You could have a doctor that went to school for many years and his expertise was the lungs. And you see that doctor and his colleagues standing outside of the hospital in Manhattan, smoking. But what are you doing? You're the guy that wrote the thesis on the lungs. You're the one that wrote the reports, and you're the one that they interview. What are you? Which means it's in his brain. But it didn't go down yet to the rest of it. It's not in his blood yet. It didn't get down to his heart yet. His heart is controlling him. His heart tells him, do what you want to do. Don't listen to the brain. So as long as you're being controlled by the heart, we don't succeed. Shlomo HaMelech says, V'natata le'avdecha lev shomeya. Oh. Shlomo HaMelech says, give to your servant a heart that hears. Because the passion is over here. The passion is not in the brain. The brain knows right from wrong. Passion is over here. So the Devrei Torah, the brain, has to come down to control the heart. And then once it controls the heart, then it goes to the liver, and the blood goes through this. Then the whole body becomes an embodiment of Torah. That's why, incidentally, there's a interesting musar that they say. What's the Musar? Esav. What do we know about Esav? We know that Yitzhak loved Esav. He taught his son Devrei Torah. He taught his son Hiddushim. Esav's brain was filled with Torah, but it didn't change him. All the Devrei Torah he had, he was still Esav HaRasha. It didn't influence his heart. It didn't change his character. It didn't change his way. Guess what? When Esav dies, which part of Esav gets buried in Me'arat HaMachpelah? His head. Because, yeah, his head was Kadosh. His head was a Bet Midrash. His head had all the Devrei Torah Yitzhak Avinu, but that's about it. The rest of his body, it's almost as if there was a separation, there was a mechisa between his brain and the rest of his body. So before he died, or as he died, they cut his head off. This is Kodesh. The head of Esav's Kodesh. Put this next to Yitzhak. Which means he had to return all the Devrei Torah back to his father. Because he didn't use it. So here's the library. Give it to Esav's head. Whereas Yaakov Abinu and the rest of the tzaddikim, their whole body has Torah in it. Oh, if this is true, now we understand, says the Baalei Musar, this kilipa is called Reev. Reev makes you forget Torah. You know what the word Reev in Hebrew means? A fight, or a quarrel, or a dispute. Whenever there's going to be a dispute between the brain and the heart wins over, then already the Devrei Torah is forgotten. Reev comes along and creates a barrier between the moach and the... It doesn't allow the moach to influence the heart. The brain says it's wrong, it's not right, it's haram, it's asur. But the heart says, just do it. And Reeve comes in and creates a separation between the Moach and the Lev. And then a person already starts to forget his Torah, and his Torah has no effect on him. And he goes after his passions. Now we understand. There's a midrash in this week's parasha that says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And the midrash says, V'chen Amar Shlomo. Ahu dichtiv bi melachim yimlochu. Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, and Shlomo says, the kings will rule me. Bi melachim yimlochu. What does it mean? Lachem, bi melachim yimlochu. The explanation is like this. When the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, God tells them, "Achodesh hazeh lachem." As long as they were in Egypt, what was controlling them? Their heart was in control. Lachem is rashi tevot, lev, kaved, moach. The moach was on the bottom. They were being influenced by their heart. Their liver had all the tavot running through it. Achodesh hazeh lachem. Now this month, you're under lachem. But Shlomo HaMelech says, the goal is to become bim melachim yimlochu. You have to become a melech. You know what a melech is? Melech is moach, lev, kaved. Where the moach is in charge. And the moach guides the heart. And the heart guides the kaved. And that's what happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. When he got to the Yom HaSeit, he had tremendous Devrei Torah on his brain, and everything was good. He was a melech. Man melchir banan. But he started to go, he made a left. He started to get involved with the pleasures. And all of a sudden came the Kilipav Reev. Ha-cheresh shaya libam, and cut it off, and made a separation between Moach and Lev. And now what ended up taking place? Ha-cheresh shaya libam. That word he read, now he was under the influence of his heart. His moach was not guiding him anymore. The Torah that he had here was just information. That's what it means he forgot his learning. The learning did not have influence anymore on him. The heart was in control. He was lucky he had friends to pray for him, that they were able to reverse it. And this is the Musar. Ha-chodesh hazeh lachem. We cannot be under the influence of Lachem. We must be under the influence of Melech. He be Shuru Melech. And that's why every time we make Birkat HaLebana, when we make this Beracha on the moon, we want to remind ourselves of who's in charge. And therefore we say, David Melech Israel, Chai V'Kayam. We have to mention Melech, 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 to remind us that who is a true king? King that is in control of himself. Before you can become in control of the world, you have to control yourself first. Before you can have any dominance over other people, you have to be able to control your own passion. Melech, Moah, Lev, Kaved. That the decisions are intellectual decisions. The businessman will tell you that any decision that was made from emotion is not a good decision. From hype, from excitement. Whenever the lab takes over, usually decisions are wrong. It's passion. Decisions have to be made from intellect, not from excitement. Certainly that's true in religion. And that's the three explanations we offer you tonight. Number one, the invincibility of the Jew. The Jew is like the moon. He exists even in the night. Even the darkness cannot get rid of the moonlight. And the second interpretation, we are like the moon, that when we are removed from the sun, from the goyim, and we separate ourselves, we shine. But when we get too close, we become invisible. We lose our entity. We lose our appearance. And the third explanation is, so we're learning from this Gemara, Achodesh Hazeh Lachem reminds us that as long as we're following Lachem, then we go after our Yetzer Hara. And the heart is dictating what the brain should follow, then already we have no success. Be Melachim Yimdochu. It's not enough to come to class. Now you heard the Devrei Torah, now you have to bring it down to the next level. It's not enough to be like the head of Esav HaRasha. Brilliant head, but the rest of the body was taref. We have to let the Devrei Torah digest itself through the bloodstream. And then Be'azat Hashem will be able to conquer the Yetzer Hara, especially during these weeks over here that we're working on these Inyanim. And you shouldn't feel bad that even if you fell once, person is able to rise again. Just like the moon falls every month, but the next month he shines again. And then will be fulfilled upon us. Uchol b'nei Yisrael hayaor b'moshmotam. Ayudim hayta ora. Mishumcha v'sasun bikar. Amen v'amen.